Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Let's talk to Steve Volpett of the Boston Herald right now, because we want somebody to break down the Ryan Donato for Charlie Coyle trade, and Steve's our guy. Hi, Steve.
I thought we were going to talk about Backus's goal last night. We're sitting here, a bunch of friends, I was sitting here watching it for Buck Bradley's bar. Finally, someone went upstairs on the guy, you know?
That's right. And Backus.
Were you as
people.
Shocked yeah. as we were that Bruce Cassidy tapped him on the shoulder and said, get on out there, son, and win this for us? Because
I figured he'd put Pasternak out there on crutches, or whatever. He's got a hand, or he doesn't need crutches for his hand, but, you know, just wheel him out there or something.
All right, let's talk about your discussion with Kyrie. We played it last hour. And it seemed clear to us as we were listening to it, you were actually trying to give him an opportunity to clear things up, and he just didn't seem to understand that.
Well, yeah. I mean, he and I spoke afterwards, but yeah. I mean, look, we weren't asking him what he necessarily said during the video. It's like, basically, it's like, you know, do you want to address it? And the point being that, you know, whereas I think everyone around the team that covers the team realizes that this isn't going to be his future or whatever isn't going to be decided before the next few months. You know, we were just saying, like, you know, you want to, you know, put this to bed and go play basketball. But, you know, hey, he's got his right to feel weird about all this speculation stuff. But, you know, there it is.
It seems like in recent weeks he's gotten more and more defensive. Like, I feel like how would you compare his relationship with the media last season to this season?
Well, and it was fine earlier in the year too. I just think that, I think the fulcrum in it happened when all of a sudden he got dragged into the Anthony Davis thing,
mm-hmm.
and that wasn't even by media necessarily. That was by, you know, Anthony Davis's agent,
right?
And you know, they have a vested interest in getting Davis to the Lakers, and whatever they can do to muddy the waters as far as Boston goes, because Boston would seem like the logical landing spot for an Anthony Davis trade. You know, I think that was to their thing, but it just, you know, that's kind of how it started. And, you know, it's gotten a little bit strange, but you know, it's no big deal in the larger sphere, I think.
If you were putting on your psychologist hat here, because I got the feeling listening to him yesterday,
yeah.
He doesn't sound like he's real happy right now.
Like I said, I think he's unhappy with the scene and how things get blown up. You know, to which my only point is that that the people that are doing that weren't the people he was talking to yesterday. You know, if you know, to be fair, if we were the people or part of the problem that Kyrie was talking about, we would have spent yesterday tweeting and blogging about that whole video and speculating on it before we ever talked to Kyrie. But we didn't. We, you know, we waited until mm-hmm. we spoke to him, because that's kind of how I believe you're supposed to do things. You know, but anyway, he's got his reasons, I guess, but, you know, that things could be a lot easier. Let's put it that way.
Do you think anything has changed with the relationship between he and the young guys? Because on the one hand, it seems like maybe they had a bit of a breakthrough, maybe. But then the next thing you know, he's doing a sit-down interview with Rachel Nichols, and she's asking about the chemistry on the team and what's the problem. And he's like, first thing he says is, well, we got young guys that think they should be doing more than they are. So he's immediately blaming them again. So is it the same as it was even a month ago between he and, say, Jaylen Brown, Rozier, maybe even Tatum?
I'm not sure, you know, what it's like, you know, when those guys are together. I see your point, definitely. But, you know, I mean, when he gave that answer to Rachel Nichols, he was stating fact. We all know that. I mean, that's been the struggle this year, is guys that got a chance to do more last year being asked to do less and kind of struggling with that concept a little bit. you know, doesn't make them bad human beings, but it's certainly interrupted what they've been wanting to do here, what the team's been wanting to do. And I think, you know, I'm going to be very interested to see. That's, you know, before all this stuff, you know, started. And it's, again, it'll be over with, you know, within 20 minutes, I'm guessing. But I'm interested to see whether this team gathers itself, puts everything aside, and not that there's a whole lot, but just gets their stuff together and runs downhill these last 24 games and into the playoffs. I mean, there's a certain point where you just leave external issues or other issues aside and say, okay, what do I need to do on this possession to be a positive influence on my team?
Kyrie told season ticket holders back in September that he wants to re-sign here and stay here to a huge round. It was like a Mick Foley cheap pop, to be honest with you, but it worked. He got it. Do you think that he's changing his mind?
No, not necessarily. But I think it was never a definitive when he said that. I think they never looked at it as a definitive, that it was going to be, you know, how does this year go? And he was always going to reserve the right to change his mind. But, you know, I still think that this is, you know, the place. And if he thinks that it will be easier or nicer in New York, I think, you know, we all know that history would disagree with that. You know, this is probably the best place for him, I think. Look, he's going to – I don't think he likes being told – you know, well, this is what you think and this is what you do, even though it was something he'd said.
Right. I definitely get that sense. How do you
We all expect it. When we met with him in New York that Friday morning, we all expected that he was just going to say, well, you know, hey, you know, just go by what I said last time until I tell you differently.
Mm-hmm.
But then he, you know, he was ticked off so much at, you know, that the speculation that had gotten out from, you know, from Anthony Davis's people. And through their sources. And I think that's what set him off.
How do you think that Brad Stevens and Danny Ainge really feel about all these comments that he's made and even the decision to play in the All-Star game? Because I know publicly Stevens and Ainge both said, hey, if he's 100%, that's great and he should do that. But I have a feeling that can't possibly be how they really feel.
I think the All-Star game wasn't a big deal at all. I mean, basically, are you going to go up and run around and he was doing some of that stuff anyway. You know, more interesting would be what the what talk radio in Philadelphia is, you know, discussing right now after Joel Embiid plays in the game and comes out and he's got to be reevaluated in a week. You know, I know that the players and the team would rather that, you know, Kyrie just let this other stuff, let all this stuff die. I wrote that following the game in New York. You know, they would rather not have to deal with this stuff and deal with questions about Kyrie, which they do get sometimes, you know, but there, you know, there it is. He opened the door in New York and, you know, it's just kind of funny because now it's like, it's, less about basketball than it should be.
I gotta know, do you believe in the internet?
Is that important to you, Steve?
I think it runs my life.
exactly. And everybody else is in the business.
Well, it's one of those things where it's like, I'm driving in my car. Do I believe in this building I'm about to drive into? It doesn't matter whether I believe it or not.
You know, it's there.
If I don't hit the brake.
Steve, we appreciate the time. Remember now, it's all about the clicks and likes.
That's right.
Well, it's all about 7 wins in a row.
Thank you. That's a good call by you.
And seriously, you know, send out feelings to Brick and his family.
Absolutely. Yeah. And thank you, Steve, for joining us. I appreciate it. For people who don't know, Andy Brickley's brother passed away from cancer. Brick wrote about it very touchingly on Twitter yesterday. Mm. I reached out to Brick last night, and to Steve's point, our thoughts go to Andy, and I know working last night, he was doing some stuff for Nesson post-game. I'm sure it was not an easy time.
No, not at all.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours.
and great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.